Welcome back to episode 11 of the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stout, another host,
Garrett Burkle.
So, Garrett Burkle, the Colts have hired Jeff Saturday.
Wait, before that, we fired Frank Reich.
We fired Frank Reich.
Round of applause.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm not a man that's going to, you know, come for another man's job like that, but it's time to fire someone. Mm-hmm. I think everybody agree on that. Frank Reich's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great man.
He's a great guy off the field. He's, you know, he's still a good football mind. I'm not going to lie.
I think he could be a good offensive coordinator for real. Somewhere.
You know, I don't even, you know, I was watching the press conference back and I was like, you know, I really don't think it was Frank. I don't think it was all Frank's problem. I think it was more Ballard and Irsay's problem than it was Reich's. And
I think, you know, yeah, but I also think just, Frank's play calling is just not there.
I understand that. Yeah, that's true. I mean? But like, it's just so disappointing, you know, just seeing how that whole thing went out after, you know, the first year with Luck. And I understand was tough. You know, you had River. But again, the whole thing about the quarterback revolving door system, whose idea was that? It wasn't Ballard, or it wasn't Reich's. It was Ballard's. So. Yeah.
And I think that.
I think Ballard was more the problem.
I think that. But I think you sent me something. It was like Irsay's press conference. He said, you know, when you have your 29-year-old quarterback retired in his prime, that sets you back 10 years. So,
mm-hmm.
I think, you shouldn't have done the, you know, a new quarterback every single year, but it's tough when you have your prime quarterback retired.
No, don't get me wrong.
Because I think you probably have won a couple Super Bowls with Luck.
I agree with that. I really think it was a possibility.
It's just tough. But I'm excited about Jeff Saturday's hire.
I am too. You know, I know some fans are like, oh, it's so stupid, you know, getting a guy with no coaching experience. Which he is the head coach of a high school in Georgia, which I know, you know, isn't obviously NFL or collegiate level. But still, I mean, that's a head coaching gig. But, again, I like the hire because I think, you know, if it does work out, I believe, you know, if you have Jeff Saturday on that, you know, as the head coach, I think, you know, a lot of the former players would be in a lot more, you know, maybe even you get some of them in to be the coordinators and on the coaching staff. So I actually like the hire. I like that it's out of, you know, the facility as well. And people are like, oh, you know, they kind of screwed over Reggie Wayne. I don't think so. I think they probably did go to Reggie, said, hey, do you want the interim job? And I believe his answer is probably no.
I mean, yeah, I think he's good as a wide receivers coach.
Yeah. So. But, again, it was kind of shocking when I read it. I didn't really believe it at first. And I was like, really? But, again, if it works, it works. And it'd be great if it does work. And I know you still want us to lose out to get a good draft pick.
I think there's – yeah, I'll go in that a little bit. Well, first of all, I want to say – Jeff Saturday will not be calling the plays.
No.
30-year-old pass game specialist / assistant quarterbacks coach Parks Frazier is the offensive play caller.
I kind of like that. You know, bring a younger guy in.
Yeah. I mean, so, more innovative ideas.
Again, I don't know who he is personally. I didn't know he was on the staff. I know he was the Missouri or the Murray State quarterback from like in 2014, I read.
I think so.
So, again, I mean, good, you know, good for him, and hopefully it works out for him. I also wanted, you know, maybe Jeff to make an offensive coordinator hire, you know, someone like, you know, like obviously a guy on the Colts kind of dynasty there, like Peyton Manning would have been nice. Edgerrin James would have been nice. A guy like that.
I think it could be something like that eventually.
And I think Robert Mathis, he's been tweeting out, and I believe he'll probably, it is a pretty good hire next offseason, I believe he will also rejoin the staff. But I actually think... I don't think Saturday will be the full-time head coach comes next year. I believe he'll probably take a GM role or something like that if he wanted it.
I could see that.
I think Ballard's out after the season. I'm surprised 100%. He hasn't been yet. And I know Irsay said something in the press conference that he wants to keep
Ballard.
He
said that same thing about Reich, too.
Exactly.
So
I don't know why you haven't fired Ballard yet because, again, who builds the roster? Who has these holes in their team? Frank Reich, again, not the greatest play call. He wasn't a good play caller, you know. I don't think the team was, you know, prepared to play, you know, the last couple of weeks, which I think that's why you made the change. But, I mean, I think it was more Ballard than anything. But maybe that's just my opinion. So
100%. And I think with Jeff Saturday, if he, you know, if the team rallies around him, you make the playoffs with him, you win the majority of the rest of your games, I think he does stay head coach.
Yeah, but you have a tough schedule.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And I think that... The two ways it can go, I don't mind either way. Obviously, it'd be fun watching them rally around him and get a playoff wild card spot. Mm-hmm. But it'd also be very beneficial to the future if you do lose a lot of the rest of your games and get a quarterback.
I agree both ways. But, again, Jeff Saturday didn't take the job to come and lose, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
I, you know, I don't know.
I just don't think the team's very good, so I think
they're not.
It won't matter.
They're not. And I think he said he's going to keep Ellinger at quarterback, but I think by the end of the year, I think he'll get Foles in there, maybe throw Ryan in there again. I'm surprised Ryan wasn't named the coordinator or something like that, especially.
That's what I was thinking.
And,
like,
I'm sure he has probably something to do with the play calling behind the scenes.
I'm sure he'd
be
a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but again,
I think a lot of former quarterbacks would be.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what that whole deal is there, and I'm kind of. It was just so weird how the Colts kind of collapsed this season because, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, I'm reading my phone that Ellinger was moved to quarterback two. Then you have that game against Tennessee at Tennessee, which went terribly. I think did Ryan get benched after that?
Yeah, benched, but also he had like a shoulder. Something was up with his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's more of him getting benched, mm-hmm. if I'm being honest.
Yeah, so, you know, he did not look great this season by any means. So, yeah, obviously we benched him and we brought in, Ellinger was starting quarterback. Did not get to watch the Washington game. You told me he looked all right. Not great, but all right. And yeah, obviously now.
I don't think he's the answer.
And obviously now I don't know who you run with. I mean, you can keep, you know, you can put Ryan back
in there. I don't know, it's tough because you're at a point at 3-5-1 where if they want to still make the playoffs, you have to go like 6-2, 7-1, mm-hmm. 8-0 the rest of your games. And so if you're losing with Ellinger at that point, I'd keep him in because you wanted that draft pick. And then if you're winning with him, you keep him in. I don't think there's any world where he gets benched. And because he's, I don't think there's any benefit of starting Foles or Ryan at this point. So
I agree.
And I mean, obviously, if you make the playoffs with Ellinger, maybe he's the answer. But I still think you're gonna. If you're the Colts, you're gonna get a good first round pick in this year's draft. And I think you have to go quarterback when you have the opportunity.
I just really don't. You know, if you say,
I'm very high on the top three quarterbacks in this draft.
I'm not high on Stroud.
I'm really high on Bryce Young, and I think that the Colts could get him in all honesty because I think with their remaining schedule, they could lose out.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, Bryce Young's ability to get out of the pocket, he reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson. He's a shorter quarterback, yeah, but his ability to scramble outside the pocket and make pass. I mean, you saw, I don't know if you saw, it was like against LSU at the very end of the game that he scrambled way out of the pocket.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Deep, mm-hmm. got a touchdown there. So, I mean,
he's a good talent.
Watching him play against Tennessee really gave me a lot of hope. I haven't been able to watch a lot of CJ Stroud this year, but what excites me about him is just that he's a taller quarterback and he's also mobile. And he's very accurate. So, I mean, I haven't been able to see a lot of him, so that's kind of a question mark. And then, obviously, as a Kentucky fan, I've been able to watch Will Levis every game. And he excites me because of the fact that I think his play style is very, very similar to Josh Allen. I think that Levis's deep ball is very good at times. I think that he forces the ball a little bit too much and creates turnovers, which you do not want in an NFL offense. But his mobility and his strength to break tackles on the run is very beneficial. And, I mean, Kentucky has not had a good O-line off all year, kind of similar to the Colts. And he's done pretty well getting out of the pocket. So I'd like Will Levis if you can. I think Will Levis is the most realistic quarterback option.
Will Levis, yeah. And again, I kind of like that. I do like Will Levis.
But it's also weird where Levis will go because you know Mel Kiper thinks he's still a top five pick, which I don't know. And a lot of people think he could be like around 15-20. Yeah,
you know, and it depends. You know what he does in the NFL Combine as well. So I mean, we really don't know.
I just think NFL guys look at him and be like, that's Josh Allen. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what Josh Allen was in college. So mm-hmm. that's
yeah.
what I think
excites yeah, we don't know, but yeah, we're excited, you know, for, the, I guess, the future of the Colts.
And again, I would just be so happy if they got Levis just personally.
And I would love, you know, if Jeff Saturday again works out and he becomes the next Colts head football coach.
That'd be really cool, that'd be awesome. But I also don't want, like, Colts fans to be unrealistic. Like, this football team is not good.
I agree.
Just because we bring in Jeff Saturday does not mean we're going to just miraculously
win. I thought there'd be
games.
A lot more hype about the Saturday hiring.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that we're going to lose games and people are going to dog on Jeff Saturday when he's done so much for this organization. It's like,
that's how it is, unrealistic.
If he wins games, sure, that's awesome. Celebrate that. But if he loses games, don't get all beat up about it because you're going to get a good pick.
Plus, he's an interim head coach with no experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's understandable. But do you think – Ursae said Saturday was his first call. Do you really think so?
I'd believe
it. The first call had to be to Peyton, right?
I don't think – I just really – I mean, I was talking to my dad about this. I really just don't think Peyton Manning wants a full-time job, and I don't think he'd look for one. I mean, he's got it made.
I understand it.
He's got it made.
You're right.
I think you don't. I mean, I doubt they called Sean Payton. He's still under contract with the Saints. And
see, I think the one hire again. If you can make it, that you should do is I think you should bring in Jim Harbaugh.
If you can, but it looks more and more like Michigan's going to make the college football playoff again.
Yeah.
So if they
do. But still, if they get, hypothetically they get in, they get blown out by, Tennessee now. Just hypothetically they get blown out by Tennessee. You think he'd stay at Michigan? Do you think he'd take the Colts job? Any chance?
I think it depends who you have at quarterback because.
You got to look at because he tried to take the Vikings job last year.
Oh, yeah. And so I'd love Harbaugh. There's just a lot of changes are going to be made this offseason, which I'm pretty excited for. I think a lot of changes should be made around the team.
Well, did you see the betting odds to be the next football or the next Colts football head coach was Peyton Manning? It was Peyton Manning.
I just think that's all talk. And I'm not saying I don't want. I would love Peyton Manning on the staff. I think he'd be terrific at offensive.
He had better odds than Harbaugh.
Well, wouldn't it be so funny to have him as the offensive coordinator and Jeff Saturday as head coach? Because like a few years ago, they had that fight on the sideline a little bit. Yeah. Where it's like, stop calling the plays, Jeff.
If Peyton wants, if Peyton was willing to be the football coach, I don't care, he's never been on a staff before.
You got to hire him.
His intake to the game and how much he studied will translate as an NFL head coach.
I think a lot of former players aren't that good at head coach. Uh-huh. Like, they just historically aren't. But I think Peyton is, like, an exception.
Right.
You have guys like Peyton and Tom Brady, I think, would be great coaches.
Uh-huh. I think, a guy like Drew Brees as well,
Drew Brees would probably be a great coach.
So, like, I was thinking, though, if it doesn't work out, so we hire Peyton, and he's not a good head football coach. Can you imagine the fans wanting him running out of town?
That's the problem. Like,
right. That's what happened with Scott Frost in Nebraska because, again, I know Nebraska, we look at Scott Frost kind of a joke, but, like, when he was a player, he was a national champion quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they ran him out of town. So, I just, I don't think we'd run Peyton out of town unless, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think so.
So, I don't know. I hope, I hope Jeff Saturday can work out because I do believe that I do believe that some good stuff can work from that. So I'm excited.
Oh yeah, I'm excited, and I think it's gonna definitely change the energy a little bit, and I think that can be very good for this team. You have a lot of young guys that can learn from Jeff Saturday, and I just think that's very beneficial overall for the team.
Yeah. Before we go on, I want to talk about Purdue real quick, and you want to go into Kentucky if you want to. Purdue played their first game against Milwaukee, who is in the Horizon League. Purdue looked pretty good. I was impressed, for sure. So I'll just go over some of the player stats. Mason Gillis, who is a junior this year from Newcastle, Indiana, had 7 points, 6 rebounds, 1-2 from the 1-2 from 3-point range. Zach Edey, in an unfortunate game, did play around 20. He played 24 minutes, but he played probably his worst game since his freshman year at Purdue. I don't know. He just wasn't efficient as he. I don't think Milwaukee brought they triple teamed him at points, and he still went up with it. He also brought the ball down, which when you're 7'4", you always bring the ball up, not down. So I wasn't too impressed with Edey, but I do think that will change throughout the season. He was 4-13 with 12 points, but did have his career high 17 rebounds. So that's something to look out for. And 2 assists. So it looks like his passing has gotten better as well. Braden Smith, everyone's favorite basketball player from Westfield, the freshman, the 5'11 freshman, went 1 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from three, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 7 points and 7 steals.
7 steals is good. I mean, those short guys are really fun to watch.
I'm really excited for him. I think it will be Painter's best point guard since Lewis Jackson.
I love seeing short point guards thrive. Mm-hmm. I think it was a few years ago, Kentucky's point guard, Tyler Ulis. He's like 5'9". Oh, yeah, I remember that name, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like one of our better point guards of all time, mm-hmm. if you're being honest. So,
really Fletcher cool. Lawyer, the other freshman from Homestead, Indiana, went 6 of 15 from the floor, 5 of 12 from 3, had 2 rebounds, 17 points, and 3 assists. Thing I like about Lawyer, he's not afraid to shoot. I'm sure later on in the season, you know, when he shoots 0 of 12 from 3, we'll come back to this and be like, wow, you really want him to shoot. But like right now, you know, if they're good, you know, if he's shooting, you know, that from 3, I mean, let him do it. So I'm excited for him as well. Then Ethan Morton, another starter, only played 20 minutes, went 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, had 1 rebound, 6 assists, and 7 points. The bench real quick I'll go over. Trey Kaufman Wren played 18 minutes, 3 of 8 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. Had 7 rebounds and 8 points. So interesting there. Brian Waddell, everyone was kind of freaking out because he didn't look too great. Again, he still has time to mold into a future star for Purdue. But he did play 20 minutes, did not record, or he had 7 rebounds. He had 3 rebounds and 0 points. But that's something, you know, you can build on. Caleb First played 17 minutes, went 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, had 4 rebounds and 8 points. I do like Caleb First as well. And then Brandon Newman off the bench, he played 22 minutes, went 6 of 12 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, had 3 rebounds and 16 points. So excited for them this year for sure.
Yeah, I think Purdue can be pretty scary come March if they can get hot at the right time. I'll go over my Kentucky Wildcats. They played Howard in their opening night of the season, which Howard is the main pick to win their conference. So, I mean, it's a pretty big win over a potential NCAA tournament team. Yeah, they're going to win a small conference, but I think it's pretty good. They beat them 95-63. Kentucky was without point guard Sevier Wheeler, center Oscar Sheboy, and probably, I'd say, power forward Damian Collins. So you're without 3 of your best players, and you beat a likely tournament team in Howard. You beat them 95-63. Jacob Toppin, who a lot of people think will be a big breakout player this year, myself included, he was on the floor 32 minutes, shot 5 for 12 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, had 15 points and 11 boards. Chris Livingston, the freshman, started. He played pretty well in his debut. He had 19 minutes, 4 for 6 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, 9 points and 4 rebounds. I apologize. Lance Ware, the junior, likely backup center, started. He had 20 minutes, shot 1 for 2 from the field, had 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He just hustled very well. He played pretty well there. Kayson Wallace, I think he wants to actually go by Kayson Wallace. It's going to be kind of weird adjustment there, but he played the most minutes out of anybody, played 35 minutes, shot 7 for 11 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, had 15 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists, so a really good game from him there. He set the record for most assists, he was right behind John Wall's debut for most assists in a freshman Kentucky player's debut. John Wall had 12, or no, it was De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox had 12, and Kayson Wallace had 9. So I'm going to be interested when Sevier Wheeler gets back, because a lot of people think Kayson should start. I don't know. I mean, he's a combo guard. He can play both point guard and shooting guard, so I'd look at starting him. Even though he's a freshman, he looked very, very good in his debut. C.J. Frederick, a transfer from Iowa, started. He had 30 minutes.
C.J. Frederick.
Yeah,
that's the name I remember.
Yeah,
he was on the really good team with Garza. And
yeah, he was hurt last year. He tore his ACL. He's gonna be huge for this team because he's one of the better shooters in the nation. Mm-hmm. He was on the floor 30 minutes. He shot 6 for 9 from the field, 2 for 5 from 3, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 20 points.
Sweet, good for him.
And then Antonio Reeves, transfer forward slash guard from Illinois State, was on the floor 25 minutes, shot 8 for 16 from the field, 6 for 12 from three-point range, and had 22 points off the bench.
Sweet.
That's a player I'm really excited for there. And then another player I'm very excited for is Ugana Onyenso. Ugana Onyenso. So he's from Nigeria. He actually reclassified this year to play on this team. He was a recruit for next year.
Okay.
And he has a ton of potential.
Is he a center?
Yeah, he's a center.
So Shibley is backup?
I don't think. It depends. It's either him or Lance Ware. I think they'll split time. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll be very beneficial because a lot of people are calling him Little O. You know, you have Big O and Oscar. You have Little O.
Is Oscar from Nigeria as well?
I think he's from the Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic, okay. But I was just wondering if they had any connection.
It'll be cool there because he's going to be able to learn from a guy that is very similar play style. Onyenso is a shot blocking machine. I can't remember how many he had, but he just looked great on defense. He had 20 minutes in his debut, 3 for 4 from the field, and 6 points and 4 boards. So I was really excited to watch them there. I think the future at center is going to be very good for
the Wildcats. Yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
so, we're excited. I mean, the freshmen for our teams are balling out. So, again, uh-huh. Leading scorer, seven steals for a freshman point guard.
And we are back. We were just talking about a little bit of NFL and Purdue and Kentucky college basketball. Now let's transition to college football. The latest college football playoff rankings came in. We'll start at number 25. You have Washington. I think that's pretty well deserved. Yeah, they're 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a chance probably at the Pac-12.
Title game. Oh, man. We went over that last game.
Yeah,
and
it's hectic there.
Oh, man. Don't know what's going to happen. So.
Then at number 24, the Kentucky Wildcats get back in the rankings. It's cool to see there.
Yeah, let's go.
And number 23, you have Florida State, which honestly.
FSU.
I think it's pretty good for LSU.
Finally found a head coach.
I think it's good for LSU that they're ranked.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they lost them early in the season. You have UCF at number 22. From the Fighting Illini at number 21. Notre Dame jumps to number 20 after being unranked most of the season at 6-3.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, we talked about the first couple weeks. We're like, will Marcus Freeman have a job
right now? Yeah, I think he will.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he'll
be
good. Number 19, Kansas State. Number 18, Texas. Number 17, Tulane. Number 16, NC State. Number 15, North Carolina, so that North Carolina State game will be cool. They're going to be very closely ranked in a rivalry.
Where's
game
that
there.
Game at?
I think it's at UNC. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I remember seeing, I forget, it was at NC State, and one of the teams pulled off some crazy upset. But UNC's 8-1. They'll probably be in the ACC title game. It'll be interesting to see if they can upset Clemson there. Number 14, you have Penn State. Number 13, Utah. Number 12, UCLA. And number 11, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Interesting.
Yep. And then now for the top 10, you have Clemson at number 10. So they dropped from number 4 to number 10. Dang. Alabama dropped from number 6 to number 9. So that Alabama Alabama Ole Miss game next week will probably be a lot closer than a lot of people thought.
And the game is
at Ole Miss. Alabama might lose that one.
I don't know. I just can't see. Again, I think it's an off year for Saban. I'm sure they'll probably win the national title next year.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So, again, I just can't see them losing at Ole Miss to Lane Kiffin. Yeah. Which Lane Kiffin, great football coach. I don't see it, but, crazier things have happened. So.
And USC jumped up one spot because Alabama's lost. They go to number 8. LSU jumps 3 spots to number 7, so they're just right out of that top 4.
I like LSU a lot, though. I think they're putting it together. I think Kelly's a guy that can win a national title at LSU, and I'm really excited to see what he has to do in the future.
Yeah, and I think LSU,
I hate Brian Kelly, too. I cannot stand the guy.
Really?
But again, if he, I like LSU as a program. I like how competitive the SEC is. So I am excited for, you know, Kelly there, even though I'm not a fan of the guy.
And I think LSU is one of those teams that has their way to the college football playoff paved out in
front
of them. For
sure, they do.
They're definitely winning the West. I think they'll win out. And then if you win that championship, you're in.
Yeah,
there's no 100%, doubt about it.
100%. So.
Then at number six, you have Oregon, who jumped two spots. I like that. I think Oregon's...
I would put LSU over Oregon,
personally.
I
would definitely put LSU
over
Oregon.
But I understand why it's like that.
Then Tennessee drops from number one to number five, which is kind of crazy there, kind of big drop. I think they got penalized for losing to a good Georgia team on the road too much. But
where else would you put... I mean, they're fine at five.
I mean, TCU jumped three spots to number four.
That was interesting. I think I don't know why. Who did they beat last
they
year?
It wasn't
a great win, was it?
Texas Tech.
It was
but
only
have,
by like
they
10.
Have a lot of ranked wins this year.
They do.
A lot of ranked wins.
But how many of those wins are still ranked, though? You know what I'm saying?
I got to look at their schedule.
I know Texas obviously still ranked.
All right. So
they haven't beat Texas yet.
They have wins against Oklahoma's. Oklahoma was ranked at the time. Mm-hmm.
I think SMU.
Kansas was ranked at the time on the road. Uh-huh. Oklahoma State was ranked at the time. Uh-huh. Kansas State, I believe, is still ranked.
Yeah, they are.
Then they had.
I think they came in at 19.
I mean, that's really it.
So I have four ranked wins, though, which is good. I believe SMU
was
ranked.
And then if they beat
the
Texas
beat
on the road next week, that I think that will show me that they're a playoff team. Because although Texas is ranked number 18 and they're 6-3,
it's hard to go into
Texas
and win.
Texas is a very quality team with Quinn Ewers at quarterback.
I agree.
I've said that.
I
think that they would be top 10 right now.
I agree.
And then at number three, you have Michigan, number two, Ohio State, and number one, Georgia. So
fair. I think it's a fair ranking.
I think that top four will not be how. That will not be the top four for the end of the year. I think there's no way two Big Ten teams get in, but it'll be hectic into the college football season for sure. I'll just preview some games next week that could be influential. So LSU goes on the road to Arkansas. That could be a tough game. So I mean, on the road to Arkansas, even though Arkansas is coming off a loss to Liberty, that will still be tough. I'll just go over it just for the heck of it. Purdue goes on the road to Illinois. Do you think Purdue has any chance to win that game?
Yeah, I do think they have a chance to win. Do I think they will? No. But I think you know, Purdue coming off a loss like that, I think they will be a lot more competitive than they were against Iowa, which was disappointing, which we've talked about that. But, there's always a chance for the Boilermakers.
My Kentucky Wildcats take on Vanderbilt, which most likely – is a Kentucky win there. So the following week, Kentucky will have a ranked matchup against Georgia and Lexington, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah.
That could be an upset alert a little bit there. Alabama gets on the road to Ole Miss. That could go one or two ways. I think they're disrespecting Ole Miss too much. I mean, Alabama's favored by 12 points. They're on the road. Nah, I don't know. And then if you think Clemson has a real shot at still making the CFP in some crazy occurrence, they do play Louisville this week, which Louisville's been playing very good football recently. Mm-hmm. They just came off a win against Wake Forest. So if Clemson loses that, they're definitely out. I don't think they'll make it, but, you know, there's always a chance there.
I don't think an ACC team should even be in conversation.
Oh, I don't think they should.
The top
I just think
ACC team is number 10 in the rankings.
Yeah.
Which, if Clemson wins out and they win their division and they put Clemson in, I think it's pretty much a joke.
I don't think they will, And then Penn State plays Maryland. I expect Penn State to win that. Although Maryland is playing pretty good football this year.
Yeah, I'd still take the Nittany Lions. Yeah.
UCF goes on the road in a ranked matchup at Tulane. Both teams are ranked, which will be pretty cool there.
Yeah.
Washington goes on the road to Oregon. That'll be pretty tough for Oregon. I think Oregon will take that though and win that game. And then it's just gonna be such an exciting matchup. Prime time on ABC, 7:30 in Texas. TCU goes as the number four ranked team. That'll be awesome game to watch, man.
Yeah, I think Texas will get that
I've been
one.
High on TCU all year. I'm gonna continue to be high on them. They're a fun team to watch. They're playing good football, and it'd just be really cool to see TCU make the college football playoff.
It would be.
You know, every year just feels like a repeat of a lot of the same teams. You got teams like TCU, Tennessee, Michigan's now finally back up there from last year's CFP appearance. So really, really, really cool there. Anyways, thank you for listening to episode 11 of the Playbook Podcast. If you made it this far, you can find us on Spotify on Indy's Giant 90.9. Me and Garrett are signing out from Ben Davis Studio.